You'll please remain standing for the scripture reading and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 34. And following the reading of scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Matthew 9, 27 to 34. Hear God's word. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisee said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." And God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. Amen. We come to the conclusion of a series of miracles that Matthew has been telling us about. After the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have these two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, in which a number of different miracles that Matthew is focusing on to communicate something about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's to make us get to know him as we come and kind of round these out with these two particular miracles, that of healing two blind men and then healing this demon-possessed man who was also mute. We are sort of rounding out these particular miracles. They are focusing particularly, as we will see as we work our way through these, on the reception of Jesus Christ. Not only does it communicate something about Jesus' work and his character and his person, his compassion and his power, but the question that comes to us, to them, was, what will you do with this person, Jesus Christ? How will you respond to him? What do you know about him? Will you believe in him? And there, when we're highlighted in these two miracles, two opposite responses: those who have faith in him as their merciful Savior, and those who blasphemously accuse him of casting out demons by the prince of the demons, Satan himself. So let's look at these two particular sets of miracles and reflect on them. The first that we come to is Jesus is leaving the miracle that previously was done, the raising of Jairus' daughter. As Jesus went on from there, he has these two blind men that are following him, and they're crying out loud. So Jesus is walking along the street, and these two blind men are crying out to him in a very loud, sort of a brazen way, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And they're crying out to him for mercy and addressing him by this particular title, Son of David. And Jesus does something that is a little uncharacteristic at this point. He ignores them. He doesn't address them. He doesn't do anything with them. He just keeps going on his way. And he enters the house where he's going to. Perhaps his home base house, maybe the house of one of his disciples there in Capernaum. But he ignores these two blind men. Perhaps it is that Jesus doesn't want to perform this miracle, this particular miracle, openly. It may be that he's in his messianic secret period of his life. He's trying to control the revelation of who he is. And so he doesn't want to cause a scene in the middle of the street. So he goes into the house, but the two men follow him. And when they get in the house, that's when he speaks to them. The interesting thing about their addressing Jesus, both the circumstances in it, but is the title they give him. Now, Jesus, throughout these miracles, has been addressed by different names. He calls himself the Son of Man. But this is the first time in Matthew, and Matthew is the only gospel writer that records these particular events. This is the first time in Matthew that he's referred to as the Son of David. And there are many who are critical of this. There's not much in the way of extra-biblical evidence that the Son of David was a messianic title. There are many who are critical of these blind men, saying, well, they don't know what they're saying. But we know from later on in the Gospel of Matthew that the Son of David had, by Jesus' time, very clearly become a messianic title. The children on the triumphal entry, just a couple years later, the children on the triumphal entry are crying out to Jesus, "Hail to the Son of David." And the Pharisees understood they were calling him Messiah because they got mad. They were angry about it. They didn't want anything to do with that title being connected to Jesus Christ. And so by the time of Christ, we have all the Old Testament prophecies that made it very clear that a Son of David would sit on his throne and reign forever. Now, we know, humanly speaking, David's kingdom was a mess. His Solomon began well, but ended poorly. And the kingdom of Israel was split, and his descendants were a mixed bag. Some were good, some were a wreck, spiritually speaking. But Jesus Christ was going to be the Son of David. And so these men, it's interesting, Jesus didn't rebuke them for using that title. He owned the title. He was indeed the Messiah, the Son of David, who would sit on David's throne, establishing it forever, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 9. But when Jesus addresses these men, he gives them sort of a test of faith. One part of the test of faith was the fact that he ignored them when they were crying out to him. It kind of reminds us of Jesus dealing with the Syrophoenician woman who was crying out to him for the healing of her daughter, and he ignored her. And the disciples said, "You got to deal with this woman. She's causing no end of trouble for us." And Jesus says, "Well, I'm not going to give the bread of the children to dogs." And you and I tend to think that's kind of harsh, isn't it, to call this woman a dog? But she understood. And she said, "But even the little dogs, the puppies, they eat the food that falls from the table." It was a test of faith. And to these blind men, it's a test of faith. Jesus ignored them, but then he says to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you have faith?" Now, it's not that every miracle was performed only on the basis of faith, though many were connected to the presence of faith. But this one was, and he was asking them the question, "Do you believe that I am the Savior, the merciful Savior that can heal you? Do you believe in me? You've said my name. Do you believe in me?" It's the test of faith. Do we trust in him for himself? For who he is. Not because our circumstances are great, but do we believe in him for who he is? And their answer was, "Yes, Lord." They believe. And so Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And he did that thing that he's done in several of his other miracles, that marvelous thing. He touches them. He touches them. Not that he had to touch them to heal them, but he touches them. And you see, we see woven throughout these various miracles the compassion and the concern of the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to enter into the grief and the pain of the people that he's dealing with. The very first one that we came to at the beginning of Matthew 8 was a significant one when he laid his hands on a leper. A leper was someone who's unclean, and Jesus was willing to enter the uncleanness of the leper to lay his hands on him. Perhaps the first one that had touched him in years. And he laid his hands on him. And Jesus is entering into the dark world of these blind people, these two blind men. And he's willing to lay his hands on them and touch them. Not because he has to do that to heal that, but to show his compassion and his care for these men. And their eyes were opened. And they could see. Now, all of these miracles in Matthew 8 and 9 are real, genuine miracles, powerful actions by the Son of God. But in a sense, metaphorically, they're also a picture of you and me. They're a picture of our spiritual condition before the Lord God Almighty. Like the leper, we are unclean. Like the woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, we are unclean. We are outcasts. We are separated from the Lord. Like the disciples on the storm-tossed sea, our lives are often in disarray. Like the paralyzed who needed not only healing, he needed forgiveness. Like the little girl, we too are dead in our trespasses and sins. Like these blind men, we can't see. The things of God are closed to us. The things of God are dark to us. And it's the wonderful, compassionate, precious Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David, who puts his hands on us and he heals us. He enters into our grief and he redeems us. Do you believe that he is able to do that? He's your only hope. And the question of faith, it's so significant. And these men responded in faith. Now, to conclude their part of this story, Jesus gives them a stern warning. Don't let anyone know this has happened. Now, it's hard to imagine that the word wouldn't get out somewhere or another. I mean, if they left the home and met with their relatives or their family, it's going to get out sooner or later. Jesus had to know that. But he's telling them, I've opened your eyes and I want you to do something. Don't tell anyone. And the very next verse tells us that they went out and told everyone. Now, we can understand them. It's interesting you read different commentaries and different preachers on that particular text. Many are very severe of these men. Almost as if, man, they need the judgment of God now to fall on them because they're disobedient. They were asked one thing, and then other people are more compassionate. Well, how can you not talk about it? Well, I was blind, now I can see. I don't know that we have to get too deeply involved in that particular part of the debate. The reality is, you can't hold the message of Jesus back. When God has done something for you or for me, and how can we not talk about it? And we're going to talk about it. Did they do what Jesus asked them to do? No, they didn't. How often have we read in the Word to do something and we didn't do it? Thank God he has compassion even on us. But as now Jesus and his disciples are going out, they could be the blind men, but now somehow Jesus is back among a crowd who's going to see this particular miracle because the crowd is amazed. So they is probably Jesus and his disciples. They've left the home, now they're going out, and a man is brought to him who's demon-possessed, who also could not talk. Now, we've talked about demon possession a little bit before. Just a few other things to mention in relation to this. So we don't have misunderstandings about demon possessions. For the one thing, remember there was the greatest activity of demon possessions was during Jesus' ministry. It shows that Satan was definitely violently attacking Christ and trying to undermine his ministry. You don't read about demon possessions hardly anywhere else in all of the scriptures. But just a couple things. What we don't want to think is that it doesn't mean that every illness in the New Testament is caused by demon possession. The Bible, the gospel writers make very clear that there are many illnesses that have no connection at all to demon possession. But it is true that sometimes when a person is possessed by a demon, that demon also creates a physical problem. They can go together, but they don't have to go together. Demon possession is not a mental illness. Demon possession is a servant of Satan who indwells a person. Bit of a mystery to us in some ways, but indwells the person. It's an agent of Satan who's taken possession of that person and creates all kinds of problems in their life. You and I don't have to live in fear that we're demon-possessed when we're struggling with a sin or wrestling with that. Christ came to bind Satan so that the gospel could go unfettered to all the nations of the world. But we have this incident of the man who could not speak. And Jesus, we're not told how he did it. He drove out the demon and the man was able to speak. And so you see the wonderful transformation in the man and the healing that took place. Now he was able to speak. There's a lot of speaking going on in this. You have the blind men speaking about Jesus Christ. You have Jesus speaking to the blind man and to this mute and him speaking as well. And in a minute, we're going to have this Pharisee speaking as well. But the response to this wonderful miracle that this man who had been mute and unable to speak, who was healed, you have for the first response is the crowd was amazed. It was a wonderful miracle. It was a mighty act of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've read about the crowd's amazement in other places. They see the wonder of what Christ has done in the healings and the miracles that he's performing, and they're amazed. How can we not be amazed? There are two responses that you and I are called to have as reading these two particular miracles. One is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second is wonder at the wonderful things he does for us. Do we stand in amazement of our Lord Jesus Christ? We ought to be amazed that he would die for us, that he would redeem us and have mercy on us. They comment, nothing like this has ever been done in Israel. It's a unique thing. It's a wonderful thing, a glorious miracle. But then we have, so on the one hand, you're called to faith and you're called to amazement. But the response the Pharisees give is this blasphemous statement. It is by the prince of demons that he drives out the demons. You see, just as in the account that John gives us in John chapter 9 about the man who was born blind and who was healed, and as Jesus teaches us toward the end of that particular chapter, the ones who say they can see, they're the ones who really are blind. It's the people who admit they're blind that Jesus does the miracle of helping them see. In this story, in these two miracles together, who are the blind ones? The blind ones were the religious authorities, the Pharisees. There they had before them the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David. Here he was right before them. And if they had known their Old Testaments at all, And they knew the Old Testament pretty well. If they had paid attention to the Old Testament at all, they would have read this from Isaiah. Then will, this is the work of the Messiah, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Even John the Baptist, when he was discouraged, he was in prison. Jesus' ministry was progressing. And he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or do we look for another? How does Jesus respond to him? Take this message back to John. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. If the Pharisees had eyes to see, they would have seen in the person of Jesus Christ that he is indeed the one the Old Testament prophet prophesied would come. His very life, his very actions, all of Matthew 8 and 9 is telling us Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah. And the challenge to the blind men is the same challenge to you and to me. Do you believe? Have you trusted in him? Were you blind? Are you blind? If you have come to the point in your life where you look at Jesus and he is most wonderful to you, then that's all of grace. Your eyes have been opened. You can see what others can't see. And it's for you to have faith and be amazed at the wonder of his love. Do you believe? Do you see? Are you amazed? These are the questions, the challenges, the encouragements, and the offering that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ today. May all those things be true in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonder of his love, that he enters into our suffering and our grief, and he brings healing, and he brings redemption, and he brings joy, and he brings peace. Help us to be those who believe, who trust, who can see, who are amazed. Open our blind eyes and give us life and hope in him, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.